Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage invites us to reflect on the choices we make and the paths we take in life. Scripture encourages us to seek wisdom, integrity, truth, and reverence for God, as these are the sources of lasting happiness and fulfillment. We should avoid folly, deception, mockery, and rashness, because these are the causes of misery and ruin. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 14, verse 7, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study this chapter.
Verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. Psalm 1 tells us, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm tells us to not look to the world or look to the ungodly for counsel. Those who are wise will avoid the counsel of the foolish. Scripture is very clear in teaching us the importance of obtaining wise counsel, biblical counsel, when making decisions. We need to be God-dependent. And, you know, there's so much noise in our world, especially since the advent of cell phones and internet. And I'm amazed at how many people will go to the internet to find an answer to their problem when God wants us to seek Him, doesn't He? He wants us to seek His face. He wants us to seek His word. He's our Father. He's redeemed us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. It's a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. That's what Peter says. Go from the presence of a foolish or a self-confident man when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. Again, wisdom in verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand or to give thought to his way. It's good to think about what you're doing. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Well, tonight, why are we here? What are we here for? It's good to have to think through things. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand or to give thought to their way. But the folly of fools is deception. And boy, there's a lot of deception out there, beloved. The world is ramping up its own dictionary, redefining biblical terms. There's a lot of deception. The father of deception is the father of lies. It's the devil. And not that it's never been important, but I believe more than ever, if there was ever a time when we as a church family or the church as a whole needed to be rooted and grounded in the word of God, boy, it is now. It is now. It is now. We need God's word. There's so much that is out there that is deceiving, that is misleading, that is counterfeit. Verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. And one commentator said, and sin mocks fools. But among the righteous, there is favor. Fools, well, who is a fool? The Bible says a fool is a person who says in their heart, there is no God. Now, that's interesting. They say in their heart, there is no God. Now, they may with their mouth say that they believe in God, but how do you know if a person believes in their heart? It's by the way they live, by the way they talk, by their character. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools think sin is a light thing. They mock it. The mockery of sin is connected with their lack of the fear of the Lord. And as I read that proverb, I cannot but think of all of the television sitcoms. Not that I watch them. I'm kind of like on television detox until spring training starts in February, so please pray for me. I can't think of all of these, the majority of them. They just mock sin. They call good evil and evil good. And beloved, sin is a serious thing. It's a serious thing. Sin is a cause of mourning. It's not a cause of rejoicing. Agape rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. The Family Bible Program says this: there is no surer mark of folly than a disposition to make light of sin. They who turn wickedness into a jest will certainly practice it to their everlasting ruin. Those who make light of sin make light of Christ, make light of the cross. It's a serious thing. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. In other words, don't expect that anyone else is ever going to fully understand either the bitterness and the joys that you experience in life. There are depths of joys and bitterness in our hearts that really no one else can understand, but God does. Our Heavenly Father is the God of all comfort. And in those times of difficulty, he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know what this proverb is all about. There's times people just do not understand the things that you're going through. They don't experience the depth of your bitterness. They don't experience the height of the joy that you have. But God does. He understands. He's a good God. He's a good Father. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And sadly but true, sin has been the ruin of many a family. And the household of the wicked is soon torn apart, while the family of the righteous flourishes. Now, that doesn't mean that a righteous family has any less problems than a family who is built on wickedness. It's that the righteous family surrenders and submits to the will of God and to the purpose of God. Where there's a need to repent, there's repentance. A wise home is built on the truth of God. We have godly standards. We honor God's order. And even God's order, design, is getting twisted and upright. The way God designed family, you know, the husband, the father being the head, the woman there being in submission, not him lording over her. But that's all getting turned around now. We're just watching some news before we got here, and they're calling a trans man, a trans woman. I don't even know what they're talking about anymore. They don't even know who is who. How the world is just going out of control. The world is a wicked place. It's going to be overthrown. But notice the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. I like that. And we need to keep in mind that when we talk about flourishing, when we talk about prosperity, you know, we tend to be reading, and we can't help but read the scriptures within the context of us being Americans living in a blessed country. Despite how troublesome things are. But this will work for our friends who have a home in a village in India, or people who live in a hut in Africa. When God talks about flourishing, when God talks about abundance, it's not always in terms of dollars and cents, but righteousness, peace, and joy, and harmony, and love, and the house of the upright shall flourish. He wants our homes to flourish. Not flourish the way, well, the neighbors have, you know, this huge SUV and they've got everything else, and you know what I mean. God's value system is so far different than what yours and mine are. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That is true, of course, of any person that believes that all religions or all spiritual roads lead to salvation, in spite of the declaration of Jesus that he alone is the way, he alone is the truth, he alone is the life. And this true would be true also of people who live contrary to the word of God. Many people do not believe, for example, in this day and age, that living together is wrong as long as you are consenting adults and love one another. But what does God call it? They don't want to hear it. It's fornication. It's adultery. All sin leads to death to some degree. A person that refuses the authority of Scripture can justify the path of error that they have chosen, but sooner or later they will find out that the road that they took leads to destruction. You can't go against the Word of God and prosper. You simply can't. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness or grief. Superficial laughter can hide a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the pain resurfaces. Sadly, this reminds me of many of the comedians who have made a living making people laugh while their personal lives were marred by pain and sorrow. How true God's word is it? It is. How many times laughter is a cover-up for a troubled heart? Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Notice, backsliding from the Lord begins in the heart. That's why we are told in the Proverbs to guard our hearts with all diligence, right? Guard it. Guard it from what goes in. Guard it with all diligence, beloved. Therefore, we are exhorted to guard our heart with all diligence, because that's the source of either good or evil. The backslider, it was a term that was often used by the prophets to describe the people of God that had turned aside after other gods. Jeremiah 3:6 says that the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot, spiritual harlotry, going after false gods, going after counterfeit gods. The Bible tells us that we are to guard our heart. We are to beware of covetousness. You see, it's not a matter of going to a high mountain in these days, maybe in some parts of the world, but now it could be other things. It could be material things. It could be mammon. It could be entertainment. It could be other things. Your heart wanders away from the things of the Lord. You see, if we're not drawing closer, we're falling back. That's just the way it is. You can't live your life in a spiritual vacuum. Either you and I are drawing nearer to the Lord, or we're drawing further away. Jeremiah says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in your heart. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Sometimes it's people that have gone astray like the prodigals who have come back, and what a rich testimony they have of how of the pain that they had. Because like it says in Proverbs 1:31, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Remember the prodigal son? He didn't want the things of God anymore. He didn't want the things of the kingdom of God. He wanted his own way, and he ended up in a pig pen. And then he realized, what am I doing here? And that's a good thing when someone professing Christ finds themselves in a place that they ought not to be, and then coming to themselves by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost says, it is better to be home with Dad. It is better to be following the things of the Lord than following my own ways. And thank God we do have a restoring God. Amen? That restores and forgives 70 times 7. And sometimes it's those that have been in those places that are able to counsel people that are, like the prophet Haggai says, consider your ways. Are your ways that are drawing closer to the Lord? Are you intentional in your prayer time, your devotional time? It's very easy. It's very easy to have what they call in the book of Hebrews a drawback soul. It's very easy to get consumed by the things of this world. That's why the Bible exhorts us to crucify ourselves daily. Put that old man to death. That old man that wants the things of the past, the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loves the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. We need to be drawing closer to the Lord. How we need to be filled with His ways. Lord, fill our hearts with Your ways. The person that diligently cleaves to the Lord will be satisfied. There's nothing, there's no greater satisfaction on earth than walking with the Lord, walking in fellowship with the Lord, having sweet communion with the Lord. The simple believe everything that's on the internet. But the prudent man looks well to his going. The simple, the naive believe every word. Well, look what happened in paradise when Adam and Eve took the serpent at his word. A gullible person will believe anything, but a prudent person or a sensible person is going to confirm the facts before acting. That's good counsel, isn't it? Make sure that you check out all things with the wisdom of Scripture. Once again, don't let social media or the internet be your final authority. The prudent man looks well or gives thought to his doings. They order their steps with prayer. They order their steps with biblical wisdom. That's what you're told. In all our ways, they acknowledge Him. A wise man fears and departs from evil, verse 16. But the fool rages and is confident. Again, notice how many times there's a connection between wisdom and fearing God. Wisdom and fearing God. A wise man fears and what? Departs from evil. Holy fear guards against everything unholy. But the fool, again, the fool, the person who says in their heart there is no God, rages and is confident. A fool is that self-confident person who resents the reproof of God whenever it is whenever the truth of God confronts their flesh. He who refuses to heed the warnings and consequences of Scripture will always pay the price of rebellion. Rebellion is not freedom. The hippie generation thought that rebelling was freedom. And it led many of us to the cross because rebellion is bondage, rebellion against God. Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. From time to time, people will call Pastor Ben or myself and having a struggle. Well, I'm just not, there's no happiness. There's no peace in my life. You want to be happy? And you know that they're in the office because there are things that they're wrestling with. And you say, you want to be happy? Do you fear God? What's that got to do with it? Everything. Happy is the man that fears God. If you fear God, you're going to be a happy person. Hello? You're going to be happy. You're going to be a happy person. You're going to be a contented person. You're going to be a person who has peace in the midst of chaos. Happy is the man that fears God. Always, but he that hardens his heart, and isn't this true, shall fall into mischief. It's like a spiritual law of gravity. The moment that you and I harden our heart, to whatever degree, we fall into mischief, publicly, privately. Verse 17, he that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. A quick-tempered person is acting like a fool. Chuck Swindoll years ago did a study on anger, and you know what he called it? Temporary insanity. That's what he called it. Anger is temporary insanity. An angry person's passion hurries him or who into foolish and hurtful ways of talking and acting. A quick-tempered person tends to do foolish things, and a devious man is hated. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. We have to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Doesn't seem like that now, does it? When you do look at the news, it does seem like the bad guys are winning. It does seem like darkness is overtaking light. It's not. It's not. Jesus tells us that when we draw closer to the end of the age, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Darkness is going to get darker and darker. But you and I, as the church, have an opportunity to shine brighter than brighter. Eventually, evil is going to bow before the good, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's much better. It's preferable, beloved, to begin your day, for me to begin my day, bowing my knee and saying, Jesus, you are Lord. Lord over my life, my thoughts, my heart, my attitude, my actions, my words. Don't let me look at anyone else. Don't let me look at anybody through my eyes, but through yours. Evil will bow before the good. In one of the churches in the book of Revelation, it says that Christ says he's going to call those from the synagogue of Satan to bow down before the righteous. That's where everything is going to end. Just read the back of the book. You'll see. The poor is hated or shunned, even of his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say, this sad but true picture of human nature is not given approvingly, but only as a fact. We place great value, unfortunately, on people who are wealthy and have a tendency to despise those who are poor. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what we read about in James chapter 2. Right? There were people that were wealthy coming to church, and they would be, you know, just, let's put it in our context. Somebody wealthy comes, and what do? The greeters say, hey, this guy's got a lot of money. Well, put him up front. And then here come the people from Parkside, unfortunately, that are mentally and emotionally challenged. Well, keep them in the back. And James says, to be a respecter of persons is sin. It says, do not be a respecter of person and claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's not how God looks at us. In fact, the Bible says God calls those who are poor in this world, many of them are rich in faith. But it is true that friendship in the world is in most cases governed by self-interest. And how sad it is to see people admired in spite of what they believe and how they live. Now, again, I'm not on social media that much, but they have these awards. Oh, sometimes these Oscar awards. And I'm looking, maybe just briefly, well, who won? The best actor, the best actress, the best this, and I'm saying. And there are people, oh, goo goo gaga. And then how they're living is so sadly depraved. The poor is hated, even of his own neighbor. Remember when Paul met with Peter, John? Paul was sharing with them how they're going out to minister to the Gentiles. And after they came to an understanding of where Paul was coming from, then Peter said to Paul, and he got it from Jesus, Paul, remember the poor. May God give us a heart for the poor. A heart for the needy. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.